All right, take your Bibles, please. Go to Psalm 118. Familiar verse. Maybe we could quote it. King James says, Psalm 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will what?
Rejoice.
We will rejoice and be what?
Glad.
We'll be glad in it. You know, so many times we talk about the days that went by, the days that were, the days of the past, all these things about the days. Well, I've titled this teaching, These Are the Days.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, the word day, depending on who you look at, it's going to be used almost 2,300 times in the Bible. That's quite a bit of usage about the word day. And but I wanted to look at a few. This one I thought was just a great place to start, saying, this is the day. What day?
This
day. Today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It reminds me of that verse in Lamentations 3 where it talks about God's mercies are new every morning. Every time we get up, it's a new day. Sorrow maybe comes at night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, here's another interesting verse. We're going to go to the New Testament now, Romans chapter 14. Romans is a great church epistle, one of the foundational epistles that teaches us initially the doctrine of sonship. E.W. Bullinger called it the Magna Carta of the believer's life. The Magna Carta is like a charter. It's like a document that just solidifies who we are, where we came from, what's been done for us. And so Paul did address something in Romans 14 because there were a lot of Jewish believers and there were a lot of Gentile believers. And because of their traditions, you know, the Jewish believers wanted to uphold the feast days and the Gentiles weren't really that familiar with it. So I think it caused a little bit of contention. And in verse 5 of Romans 14, it says, one man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He regardeth the day, regards it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he does not regard. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. And on it goes. And so, you know, you can see that there was some sort of potential division because the Jewish believers wanted the Gentiles to partake of their traditional ways of doing things, and the Gentiles didn't see the significance of, you know, carrying all that tradition into modern day Christianity. So another usage of the word today. One person esteems one day higher than another. Another person doesn't see the significance of it. We do the same thing. My birthday is more important probably than yours. some people don't celebrate Christmas. Some do. Some people have very, you know, specific beliefs regarding certain days. But we can't allow that to be a thing that causes us to separate from each other. We just got to let everybody have the space they need to figure it out, work it out with God. But back to Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord hath made. That's a good thing to maybe remember every day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it, no matter whether we keep Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Tabernacles, or any other thing that might want. That's not as significant in our culture, that's for sure. Well, let's look at Psalm 23. These are the days. These are the days we live. And so I hope in the course of this sharing to ask a question, how do you live out your days? How do your days begin? And what do your days look like? And what goes on in the course of your day? Not so much in the circumstances and the situations, but, you know, if we were to run a video of the thoughts and the way that you think and the responses to the way you think, and think of how you think about yourself, how you process feelings and emotions and thoughts about yourself. It's a dynamic and great topic that I think is worth some time to look at. But in Psalm 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me when all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Doesn't sound like a bad thing. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. And I think we've learned that that is actually the word pursue. It's there with us. It's God's goodness constantly with us and in us and moving us. And I heard a great definition once of believing is that it's just knowing that God's goodness, God is good all the time working with you in all of these different situations. It's always believing that God is good in every given situation. And this verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me or pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Fun to just look through God's word and see what it says, maybe about a particular topic or a particular word, because these are the greatest days that we have to live. These are the only days we have to live. And so, you know, we want to take full advantage of what's been given to us as children of God. And, you know, you've probably figured this out by now. The renewed mind and walking victoriously just doesn't happen by accident. We do have a role in how the course of our life will go. And yet that course is directed in so many ways by what we think and what we say. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because what? The days. See then you walk circumspectly. It's that you walk with perspective. You walk with a greater perspective. Not foolishly, but as wise. Remember, we talked about that last week, about wisdom being able to see things from God's perspective, redeeming the time. That means buying up every opportunity because the days are evil. That comes as no surprise. We live in this present evil world. Every day we have those opportunities to walk with God, walk by the Spirit, and not according to the circumstances and not according to the flesh. Let's go back to Psalm 27. We're kind of flipping back and forth here. Psalm 27, verse 4. I love this verse. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord when all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Man, what some wonderful words from the heart of David. One thing I have a desire to seek after, that I can dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. What a noble and honorable quest and a goal, that's for sure. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Remember how I talked about, I believe it was last week, about how the renewed mind is saying the sayings of the Word? You know, that's not just a religious, mindless activity. It is learning to say and verbalize the truth of God's word and declare those truths of the word. I mean, because in our own terminology that are effective for us, it's, you know, because we've made this statement, I am what the word of God says I am. Well, yes, you are. But in application, what does that look like? What does that mean? I mean, it's not a mantra that you just say that over 100,000 times and you automatically become what the Word of God says you are. That's kind of a generalized statement, but there's definitely categories underneath that, which we're going to talk about here just in a minute. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil. I assume that means put it off. Don't embrace it. Turn away from it. Let him eschew evil. That's not a word we would really use. And do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. And I would say that means embrace it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. For he that will love life and see his have good days, it says, let us refrain his tongue from evil. There's a little clue right there, that we don't speak evil. See? And his lips that they speak no guile. So cool. Proverbs chapter 3, familiar verse. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Bible's full of all sorts of wonderful, great, positive truth. Psalm, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For what? Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Boy, who wouldn't want that? Longer days to live? Length of days, long life, peace, they're going to be added to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. And then obviously those infamous verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Length of days. See? All right. And number 8 scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because I know we all at times get weary, and, you know, some of us have put a few years on. I know maybe there's some younger people listening, but your time will come. But we put a few years on, and sometimes we get weary or we get tired or, you know, we find ourselves maybe not quite as strong or more prone to certain things happening. But in 2 Corinthians 4:16, there's a really great section that I think is helpful for us. In verse 4:16, 2 Corinthians, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? Renewed when? Day by day. You know the outward man? We're eating. You look in the mirror, you see a few more wrinkles, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you start to think certain things and certain thoughts about yourself, and maybe you aren't seeing the glory of the Lord the first thing in the morning, right? But it says we don't faint because even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is where he's renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We may be fainting in the physical at times, but spiritually, on the inside, we are being refreshed and renewed
and supercharged by way of the Spirit. And that's what it says. The inward man is renewed day by day. But that renewing process is something that we have to honestly be active participants in. And so that lens, you know, leads me to something I just wanted to briefly touch upon, is how do we really become active participants in seeing that transformation process begin. And one of the great ways is something called declarations. And maybe in the past you've heard something like confession of belief yields receipt of confession. You know, what you believe you receive, that sort of thing. But you know what? Declarations are really, they're biblically based faith statements about God's promises, our identities, and our abilities. And it's a practical way to implement the Romans 4:17 principle of bringing life to seemingly dead areas in our life by calling those things that do exist as though they did not. Declaring truth is a major step in moving our prayer life from begging and unbelief into confidence and faith. Because we know that when God hears us, he desires. Because it says in 1 John that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so basically what we've done here today is we've made declarations about what the truth of the word is really saying. But for us personally, these declarations, these statements, that we would even speak to ourselves, which is a very important thing. They're one of the main ways that we renew our minds and we see transformation. Romans 12:2, of course, that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we can take things that are truths from the Word and declare those things on a very consistent basis, because then they begin to be incorporated into the very fabric of who we are. Remember it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Also it says whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come tumbling out. So how do we practically begin to get those truths of the word into the depths of our heart? And one of those ways certainly is by making godly, Bible-based statements that are true. And I want to give you a couple of examples here. And if you want more information, we can talk about it. You can send me a text or an email, and I do have some other information. Because what we want to do is be able to increase our expectancy of the goodness of God and not just remain at the status quo, but we want to continue to grow. And so here's an example that you would say to yourself, maybe when you get up tomorrow morning, my prayers are powerful and effective. God richly supplies all of my financial needs. Is that a biblically based statement based on the truth of the word? Absolutely. Because Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my needs, all your need, according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But how do I personalize that? Well, I say to myself, to my mind, God richly supplies all my financial needs. You know, the enemy might come to you and tell you some kind of lie about, you know, your finances, how you've handled finances, what kind of steward you are. And, you know, we have to speak declarations of truth in the face of those types of accusations. You know what? God richly supplies all my financial needs. My prayers are powerful and effective. I am dead to sin and alive to obeying God. I prosper in all of my relationships. I consistently bring encounters with God to other people. Through Jesus Christ, I am 100% loved
loved, and worthy to receive all of God's blessings. You know, just even as we speak these things, there's like something that sparks on the inside of you that is just such a blessing. Each of my family members is wonderfully blessed and radically loves God and his son, Jesus Christ. To say that to yourself, each of my family members, and then this one I thought was just so interesting, it is that I uproariously laugh when I hear a lie from the devil. You know, and I think that that is just such a great practical implementation that, you know, when the devil speaks to you or puts some kind of thought in your mind or some kind of whatever, that you just recognize it and just kind of laugh at it like, you're not going to get away with that. That is just so ridiculous. And then to make some sort of statement based on what the truth of the word really is. I just thought that some of these were just so great. How about this one? God is on my side. Therefore, I declare that I cannot be defeated. I cannot be discouraged. I cannot be depressed or disappointed. God is on my side. Romans 8:37. Does that sound what that sound like? In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Or Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, in a practical sense, it's God who is on our side. You cannot be defeated, discouraged, depressed, or disappointed. You may feel like that at times, but the spiritual truth is you have overcome already through Christ who strengthens you. As I speak God's promises, they come to pass. They stop all attacks, all assaults, oppression, and fear from my life. I have the wisdom of God today. I will think the right thoughts, say the right words, make the right decisions in every situation that I face. And finally, I expect the best day of my life spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and financially in the name of Jesus Christ. You start making those kind of declarations about yourself, to yourself, and when we begin to do these sort of things, transformation begins to occur. And not just that we're doing it on a one-time basis, but we're doing it on a regular basis. See, that your prayers are powerful, that God does supply all of your needs, that we live under a supernatural protection. I prosper in all of my relationships. I can expect the best days of my life, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, financially, in the name of Jesus Christ. Declarations are these faith statements, faith-based statements about God's promises, who we are and the abilities that we have in Christ. And that's why I wanted to start this little teaching tonight, back in Psalm 118, 24, where it says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. And the Bible says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. How about if we turn that around and say, I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Doesn't matter what the feelings are. You know what? It's always available. And I understand life is tough sometimes. Things happen. Things are going on. I'm not just saying ha-ha because, you know, we know that we have to deal with, you know, life situations. But internally, we can continue to maintain this great joy that we've been given to as spiritual men and women and sons and daughters of God. So these are the days we're living. And we can live them victoriously. We can live them successfully. But we have to be an active participant to practically manifesting the victory that's already been given to us through Jesus Christ. So I love you guys. It's a blessing again to share the greatness of God's word. If you are interested more about these declarations, then send me a note or text or something, and I'll send you something maybe you could do every day as an example. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for
your goodness, your grace, your love, your care, and so many other things, Father, we can't even begin to speak. And how good you are to us, Father, and may we continue to walk all the days of our life in your presence, Father, knowing that you are forever for us and with us in every given situation. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.